I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness. From my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
So let's bring in our good buddy, Frank Isola. Then the YES Network will have post games after every single Net game, either on YES, on the YES app. So tonight, because the Yankees are playing the Blue Jays, it'll be on the YES app. And we bring in Frank Isola to join us. Frank, Michael, Don, and Peter, how you doing?
Good. Don, I'm glad you're doing well. Peter, I saw the pictures from over the weekend, so I know you're doing well.
Thank you.
And Michael K. is on the longest winning streak of doing well, so all you guys are doing well.
Wow.
He really is.
It's a great way of putting it.
Thank you.
All right, so are the Nets whole right now? Because I don't know if you could say that Ben Simmons would make them whole. They've never had him. So this is essentially the team that they're going to have for sure. Is this team good enough to win a championship? Forget about just tonight. Is it good enough to win a championship as presently constituted?
Well, with Kevin Durant, I'd always give them a puncher's chance. Their biggest issue is defensively. You know, on their last game of the season, they played an Indiana team that was just running up and down the court, and they put up 66 in the second half, 126 overall. That's been an issue with them. So they still have things to figure out defensively. That's why maybe Ben Simmons can help them in that area, and obviously having Seth Curry back in terms of being a shooter. But when you have Kevin Durant, you have a chance. The guy, we've talked about it so many times before. He's just a different level player. He makes everyone else on the court better. This is his time of year. If you look at the way that he's played really the last 10 games or so, you know, he understands the importance of it. When the Nets needed to do the best that they could to at least be in this position tonight, they won their last 4 games, and who was the guy leading them? Was Kevin Durant. But this road will be tough. If they win tonight, they'll get Boston, then probably Milwaukee, maybe Miami, and then maybe Phoenix in the finals. So think about how tough just winning those 4 series would be. And, of course, they would not have home court advantage in any of the series.
See, that's the thing, because I don't think it really exhausts you to have to play one extra game, especially since Game 1 doesn't look like it's going to be played till Sunday. So if they win tonight, they get a lot of rest before they start the series against Boston. But Frank, to be able to go through those beasts, usually when you're a team that can compete for a championship, you might get a patsy or two along the way. They're not. They're going to have to go through the best of the East. I mean, immediately, even the best of teams could struggle doing that with home court disadvantage.
And remember what happened on Sunday. You know, Milwaukee decided not to play their guys. I don't think that Milwaukee was worried about playing the Brooklyn Nets. I think that they just knew. They figured they'll give their team a rest. Boston wanted to win that game. Really, because they didn't want to go to Toronto. They would have fallen to 4th. They would have played Toronto in the first round, and they have a couple of guys on the team that are unvaccinated. So Boston was okay with winning their final game. In fact, they blew out Memphis, which rested all their guys. Boston is 26-6 over its last 32 games. Jason Tatum, you know, I have a vote for MVP. I gave him a top 5 MVP vote. I didn't give him number 1, but I think he's been off the charts good. The biggest thing with Boston, and they're a really good team, and they have confidence that they could beat the Nets, Robert Williams III had meniscus surgery, I think it was 3 weeks ago, so yeah. I don't know what his availability is going to be for the playoffs, but he's become a dominant player. You know, both.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Ends of the court. He provides weak side defense. He's always blocking shots. And how many times do you see Boston, whether it's Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, or Jason Tatum, they'll break down their man and they'll just lob the ball up at the rim. And there's Robert Williams III to get a dunk. So they're a dangerous team. But if they don't have him, much like tonight with Cleveland, not having Jared Allen, that's a big factor because Jared Allen changes a lot for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
The surgery was close to 3 weeks ago, so in theory, Williams would be back for Boston in maybe 2 or 3 weeks. But that's a scary proposition. I was saying yesterday, I imagine, and you tell me what you think, Frank, the Celtics are now, do you think the Celtics will be the dogs in that series if it happens?
I think there's a chance it could be just because of Kevin Durant. But again, this was a team. Let's go back to last year. This was a team that was going nowhere. When they played the Nets in the first round, they didn't have Jaylen Brown. Their starting backcourt was Kemba Walker and Evan Fournier, which wasn't good enough for Boston, but obviously was good enough for the Knicks because they couldn't wait to sign both of those guys. They just didn't seem like they were going anywhere. They make the coaching change to Ime Udoka, who obviously, you know, worked for so many years in San Antonio, was in Philadelphia last year, was with the Brooklyn Nets, and it started off slow. But Ime Udoka changed a lot about that team. He got them to defend more, and I think the biggest thing he did, he got Jason Tatum to play a lot more like Kevin Durant, where you're going to be a facilitator, you got to move the ball, and you don't always have to go isolation the first 10 seconds of the shot clock. You'll get the ball back. Jason Tatum just became a different player. It's almost as if they made a coaching change at like midway through the season. That's how well they changed. You saw it last year with Atlanta when they changed coaches under Nate McMillan, and everything changed for them. You know, out of nowhere, Boston – you know, just started playing much better together. And I think Marcus Smart has a lot to do with that because he's a big-time leader. I got to give the coach credit, but I also got to give Jason Tatum a ton of the credit. He became a superstar player.
Now, Frank, I've seen the reports that Woj had that there's a chance that Ben Simmons could play in the first round. That would be, if they win tonight, it would be against the Celtics. And I see 20, 25 minutes a game thrown around. This guy hasn't played since June. How is that even a possibility that he would go from 0 to 25 in 5 days? It doesn't make sense to me.
All right, then let's think about it. He hasn't played since June 20th, and the last time we saw him play, he couldn't make free throws, and he didn't want to shoot the ball, and Doc Rivers had to take him out in the fourth quarter. He was 15 of 45 shooting from the free throw line against Atlanta. Not shooting from the outside, shooting from the free throw line. Now, I have no idea if he solved all that. No one knows it because he hasn't played yet. And remember, he didn't want to play with his national team. He could have played with the Australian national team, decided not to play. Meanwhile, Kevin Durant took a week off, played for the national team, and helped us win the gold medal. He didn't play the Olympics. He showed up for training camp late, didn't play in preseason games, hasn't played in a single regular season game. Now you're going to throw him into the high-pressure situation of the playoffs. And what's going to happen if he's in the game in the fourth quarter and you're in the penalty and maybe it's the Celtics and Ime Udoka decides foul him? Send him to the free throw line. Now, I'm not saying he's going to miss them, but if he does, that could change a lot the way that, you know, what you're deciding to do. He's a good rebounder, good defensive player. He can run an offense, no question about it. If you could put him on Jason Tatum and you could defend Jason Tatum with him, you could defend him with Kevin Durant, that's big-time advantage for the Brooklyn Nets. I just think, to your point, I think it'd be a little unfair to throw him out there. How well can he really play? Yeah. When you haven't played since June 20th, now you're playing at the highest level, and every game is pressure-packed. And the last time we saw you in pressure-packed situations, you crumbled.
Yeah, it's trying to enter the highway at going 20 miles per hour. I mean, if he at least had like 4 or 5 games in the regular season, but to be able to jump out that kind of speed, and Frank, I've seen it before in sports where a guy holds out or is out for a long period of time, he'll get a spurt and be good for a couple of games, and then they hit the wall. And sometimes they get hurt. I just can't imagine they're going to have him anywhere close to full efficacy for the entire playoffs.
When they made the trade, you knew I thought he would come back for that game against Boston, which was the first game after the break. It was a TNT game on a Thursday night. The Nets ended up getting smoked. But Durant didn't play in that game either. Then I thought, all right, well, he'll play in the first game where Kevin Durant comes back. Now he does have the situation with the back. You know, my only thing about Ben Simmons, and I'm sure he's dealing with an issue, but when you haven't played since June 20th, don't you think the guy would be dying to be out there and playing? Just look at some of the guys. Like Kevin Durant would certainly be dying to get out there and play. Can you imagine Kobe Bryant or Michael Jordan not playing since June 20th? They would say, the heck with it. I'm going out there and playing. To me, that's a concern. And to stick them into these situations. Now, a lot of it will depend on when they play him. I don't know if I could see him in the game late in the fourth quarter. Can you imagine if end up losing a playoff series because he doesn't make free throws, how that could impact him for the next season.
Would the Nets be better served? This is a guessing game, but I respect you so much, I'm going to let you guess. Would they have been better served never getting Harden, having Caris LeVert and Jared Allen?
Oh, with Jared Allen, definitely. Caris LeVert, he's hurt a lot.
Right,
but you know the one thing about getting Harden, they went for it last year, and we do have to remember, Harden got hurt in what was that the first game or the second game pretty early on. His hamstring was messed up. Then Kyrie got hurt in game four. Harden came back and tried to play. And that really was a series, because Milwaukee only went seven games with the Brooklyn Nets. They beat everyone else in less than seven games. So I still think if the Nets were healthy, I kind of feel like last year was their year. So in that regard, it would have been worth it. But Ben Simmons, remember, he's a young player. Mm-hmm. He's under contract. You know, to me, my biggest question would be, is the motivation there? Are you going to put in the work? Because, you know, I have heard stories about him in the past where, you know, he doesn't put in enough work. And you're getting an opportunity to play with Kevin Durant. What a great way to kind of restart your career. You're in a big market, but you're probably not under the pressure that you would be under Philadelphia or even playing for the New York Knicks. You get to, you know, just be a supporting player to Kevin Durant. You could be the Scottie Pippen to Kevin Durant. That would not be the worst thing.
And I'm glad you mentioned the age and the contract, Frank, because we get caught up in, well, if Philly wins this year and the Nets don't, or the Nets don't go far, the trade was a disaster. But can it still end up being a situation where they win the deal? They got a younger player under contract. If Simmons turns out to be what they hope, and they win next year or the year after, can you still look back at it, especially if Harden all of a sudden wants out of Philly in a couple of years or even after this year? Like, can't they still win the deal after this year?
100%. I thought the trade, when it first went down, I said it's going to help both of them this year. Now, the Nets did need a big body, and they got in an Andre Drummond. And Seth Curry is he's a terrific player. As a role player, the guy can knock down shots. You can put the ball in his hands. Maybe the most underrated story in the NBA season is that Kevin Durant already signed an extension with the Brooklyn Nets. So they have him for a few more years, and you also have Ben Simmons. And I think that's how the Nets looked at it. You know, you look at the division, and you have, you know, Tatum and Brown and Marcus Smart with the Celtics. Obviously, Philadelphia has what they have. And then you look at the Nets. I mean, that's three pretty good players. You just need to get Ben Simmons back to where he was really last season during the regular season with Philadelphia, where he was an all-star caliber player. And, you know, if Kyrie Irving could kind of stay with the program, you know, I still think the best is yet to come for the Brooklyn Nets. But at some point, they're going to need Simmons out there, and let's see how this whole thing works together.
You know, I've been watching a lot of the Net games, the last five or six, and the one thing I've noticed, and correct me if I'm wrong, Frank, it never seems that Durant and Irving have a good game the same game.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
One has a good game, one has a subpar game. I mean, is there any rhyme or reason to that?
I do think when you watch them play, so there was a game where they had, I believe it was the Knick game, and they scored their first 25 points and Kevin Durant didn't score a point yet.
Right.
So I think he's becoming more of a facilitator early on, especially now that he says that he's getting doubled more early on in games than he ever had. So I think he wants to get other guys involved, and then late, he's willing to take over games. You know, it's interesting that you say that, because the one game where Kevin Durant wrote, he had the 55, and I think Kyrie had 31 in that game against Atlanta, and then they ended up losing that game, which, once again, the issue is that they just don't defend enough. But I think there are times when he's willing to let, and he wants Kyrie to go off. You know, when they're playing the Houston Rockets, you could tell that Kevin Durant was thinking, I'm not shooting the ball 30 times tonight. I'm not going to run myself into the ground, because I know I'm probably going to have to play 40 minutes if the game is close. I'm not going to, you know, be the guy needing to shoot 30 to 35 times. Other guys have to do it. And on that night, he was willing to do that, and that's when Kyrie Irving took over. I think he wants his teammates to know that he has confidence in them, and he wants to give them some kind of ownership as well, where some nights you have to carry the team. I can't do it every single night.
So we talk so much about the big two. Simmons won't be available in this game tonight. Who has to? What third guy? Who are we not talking about needs to be big for them to win the game tonight?
I think it's going to be the guys inside, whether it's Andre Drummond or Nicholas Claxton, because Evan Mobley is a good player. And Evan Mobley had missed a bunch of games, and the first game that he came back was last Friday, and it took him a while to get going, but he played really well. And, you know, Cleveland was down big in that game, and they came all the way back, and they actually had a 7-point lead late in the third quarter. They went into the fourth quarter with a lead, and then the Nets got hot, and obviously Kevin Durant started making some shots. I think another player as well will be Kyrie Irving, because we've seen Kyrie, you know, he had a 60-point game this year. He had a 50-point game as well. To me, his two best games is when he scored 38 on the road against Milwaukee, and they won the game without Kevin Durant. But I think his best game was against Philadelphia. Clearly, he had something going on with him and James Harden. They could deny it all they want. The two of them clearly weren't getting along. And Kyrie wanted to prove a point. And he wanted to shut James Harden down, and he did that in that game. If Kyrie played defense like that and played in 70 games, he would be an MVP candidate. That's how good of a talent he is, and he can defend. He needs to get after it defensively as well because Darius Garland is a big-time player. You know, a little undersized, but that guy could fill it up, and he did that last Friday against the Brooklyn Nets.
There's a big story today, Frank, on ESPN.com about the death of the super teams where it doesn't work for the most part. It worked in Miami, but it doesn't work. And there's a lot of reasons why. But in that story, it said that Harden and Durant had a problem because Durant got on Harden for not being in shape when he came to camp and that he wasn't explosive and Harden got tired of it. You think there's any truth to that?
I definitely think there is. And I also think that James Harden, it's weird. I think he liked playing with the second unit a lot. So when it was the three of them together, which wasn't very often, you know, Harden would always come out at some point in the first quarter, and then he would start the second quarter by himself with all the backups. And he could kind of go back to being Houston Rocket James Harden. You know, I think when he came here, I think he thought, all right, I'm going to force my way out of Houston. Even though I like living in Houston, I'm going to force my way here. But it's a chance to play with Kyrie and Kevin Durant. And I think this year, you know, Kyrie last year ghosted the team for a couple of weeks. Then he got hurt. And then this year, they had the whole situation with his vaccination status. And I think Harden grew disenfranchised, but Harden, you know, you have to blame him as well. He wasn't in great shape to start out the season. He claims that it's because of his hamstring injury. He wasn't able to train as much during the offseason. But I definitely think there's a lot of truth to that. Because remember when he left, he had a weird quote about saying, I wanted to go to Philadelphia because I want to give myself the best chance to win a championship. You're leaving Kevin Durant, who in his last 10 finals games is 9-1. Embiid's never been to the conference finals, and you're saying publicly you think this gives you the best chance to win a championship.
It's okay. A great point.
Now, we had Jay Williams on, Frank, who said that there are people around the NBA telling him they don't think that Nash is a very good coach and might cost them a chance at a title. Do you buy that? Do you think there's deficiencies there at the head coaching position?
You know what? He's got an experienced enough staff. You know, I think the biggest thing with Steve Nash is that he and...
The last thing you want to hear when you need your auto insurance most is...
Thank you for calling. Please listen to your list of 46 possible service options.
Which is why when you choose USAA auto insurance, you'll get great service that is easy and reliable. 24/7 online service for claims, access to roadside assistance, and more. All at the touch of a button. Start getting the service you deserve. Get a quote today. Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
Kevin Durant are attached at the hip, and I think that helps. And I think when everyone's available, I think he's done a fine job. And he's had, think about how many different lineups he's had to use. And they were in a situation this year where there were games where they were playing three rookies all at the same time. And I'm not talking about mop-up minutes. I'm talking about in the middle of a game. So Steve has shown, A, he's flexible. He has a lot of confidence in his players, and he's not afraid to make some tough calls, whether or not it's benching players or, you know, going with different lineups. Listen, he hasn't won anything yet, so I think that's a fair criticism to say you have questions about him because he's, you know, he's only won one playoff series. But I think the fact that he and Durant are in lock and step, I think that's I think that might be a little unfair.
All right, so while we finish up with Frank Isola, Yes Network, Nets analyst. I'll have the post-game show on the Yes app after the game tonight. Frank, if they win tonight, they have the series against the Celtics. If they lose tonight and then win the other game, then they have the series against the Heat. Who do you think they match up better with?
That's a good question. I actually might go with Boston just because of Robert Williams, the third, probably not being available. I think that makes a big difference. What's amazing, though, is if they did go up against Miami, think about this. So they would have a home game on – if they were to lose tonight, they'll have a home game on Friday. They would play either Charlotte or Atlanta. They lost to Charlotte back on March 27th, where LaMelo Ball had seven threes in the game. Charlotte played really well. Or it could be Atlanta. Both teams finished above 500, so that would not be an easy game. But the biggest difference there is you're playing for your season on a Friday night. You know, 48 hours later, you have to go on the road and try to win. And look at Kevin Durant's minutes. That's why I think, you know, you guys pointed it out before. You know, the one thing about winning tonight is you give yourself some time off before you have to go on the road and start game one. A loss tonight is big. A, you're playing for your season on Friday. And then if you win, you're turning around and going down to Miami, and then you got a game on Sunday.
Well, it should be interesting, that's for sure. I mean, and I will tell you this, I don't know if you agree with me. I almost look at, like, I think it was the 99 Knicks where they had all those injuries and they were the eighth seed. I mean, if the Nets go in as the seventh seed, the Celtics probably go, really? We finished second and we got to play this team? I don't think anybody wants to play the Nets. That's not a real seventh seed.
I agree, and I also think that's why with the NBA, I would do something where I think if you finish first or second, I would give those teams the choice of who they want to play. For example, you might say, if you're Miami, you might say, we want to play the Chicago Bulls in the first round because the Chicago Bulls have been slumping the second half of the season. It'd be fun. You could kind of turn it into a half-hour show, and it would create a little bit of drama, too. Now, this way, you add a little bit more value to the regular season, especially in terms of teams trying to finish first or second. Let them get to pick their opponent and really give a team like Phoenix and give a team like Miami, give them a real advantage since they won their respective conferences.
You know, Adam Silver listens to every minute of that this show, so maybe he's going to put that into use, yeah.
Let's hope so.
All right, thank you, Frank. The Yes app tonight, the next post-game.
When are Peter and Don going to be on the K-Rod?
That's a great question.
The ninth one we do, I think we'll
see. How he mocks Frank. See how he even mocks the suggestion. He didn't even go with, listen, it's not my call, or, you know, we only have eight this year, maybe next year. He made fun.
You happy with what you just did, Frank?
I think it worked. What's that?
You just started a fight for no reason.
No, you didn't.
No, he knew what he was doing.
And let me tell you something. Next time Jeff Passan comes after you, Mike, I'm going after Jeff Passan.
There you go.
Too young to be doing that.
He got no shot. He turtled.
Who, I turtled?
No. If Frank goes after Passan turtles.
Wow. Well,
fair?
You know. Yeah, but you know what? He's got enough juice, but he'll get me fired, though. So I can't.
Check that, Mike. I do have to say about Jeff, when I never met him in person, Don, until like 2 weeks ago at WrestleMania. He doesn't look like a child in person. He becomes an adult in real life.
Well, nobody was suggesting he looked like a child, Peter.
What do you mean?
So you think there are people that think he looks like a little bit itty-bitty baby on TV?
Wait. Am I the only person who had his picture pops up when Jeff's on the show thinks we're talking to a middle schooler?
If he had a gap in his teeth, he'd be Alfred E. Newman.
Exactly. And in real life, he doesn't look like that. In real life, he does not look like that.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Peter, the other day, walking around my neighborhood, I ran into a guy that you work with, Ariel Helwani.
Oh yeah,
your name came up more than once.
He is a gentleman who knows everything about MMA and is desperate to come back on this show, but Michael won't have it.
Yeah, you
is
should
that
have
my
him.
Call?
He's first of all, he's a great guest and he's a good guy, really good.
It's more the subject matter than guest. Michael's, I don't think, a big fan of
he's
MMA.
He's a big NBA guy, and he knows. He wants the Montreal Expos to come back to Montreal. You can have a baseball conversation.
You know, Frank, when you're right, because somebody advocating for the Expos to come back, that's exactly what a New York Drive Time show needs.
Oh, yeah, come on.
Let's book him.
You know what? He actually would be good for the Sunday night show because he'd be bringing the MMA audience.
There you go.
He would tweet it out. He's got a million followers. He'd be good.
Sounds like you want a gig producing the Sunday Night Show.
I like what you're doing.
Notice how I didn't say put me on there. I'm trying to help out the show. I'm trying to come up with ideas.
You're
Peter,
the best.
Don, Ariel.
That's very good. Very good
it.
Stuff.
Thanks, Frank.
Frank.
Enjoy the game tonight.
Later, Frank.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.